Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is the 8 p.m. hour. Time for Word of Wisdom. Plain and simple. And I'm your host, Ian Adams. It's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God as we fellowship one with another, the body of Christ, as we explore the Word of God. And I thank God for the opportunity. And I thank each and every one of you for coming on the line tonight. I pray to God for you. Hallelujah. And I thank God for the opportunity. Well, tonight our lesson is going to come out of the book of Esther, the 7th chapter. And the title of our lesson for tonight is, If You Dig One Ditch, You Better Dig Two, Because the Trap You Set Just May Be For You. You know, we have heard that many times all of our lives. And we have seen that it happened to be true in some instances. But we're going to study the Word of God tonight. And we're going to see God's master plan working in the lives of his people. See, we have to realize that before the foundation of the world, before God created all things, and before he existed, before he spoke his word into existence, he had it all mapped out. He had a master plan. And when he spoke it, it came into play. You're not an afterthought of God. And we have to remember God's will and his way is designed in his master plan. And all of us is included. Glory, hallelujah. So I'm going to play a song. And we're going to come back and go to God's throne of grace where mercy can be found. And then we're going to explore the Word of God together. If you have your Bibles, please turn it to Esther, the 7th chapter. I'm going to play the song and we'll be back for the study. And as the song said, God has a master plan. And I want each and every one of you to know that you are included
in this master plan.
Before the foundation of the world, you are not an afterthought of God. God didn't leave you out of his plan, and he's working all things out together for our good day by day. But you got to trust him. You got to trust him. God has a master plan. When we look back over our lives and think things over, we can truly see how God has a plan for our lives and how he worked it out for our good. God has a master plan, and I want you to know that you are included. And at this time, we're going to go to God's throne of grace. And every first Wednesday of each month, we call out the names of those on our prayer list. And it is also an opportunity for anyone that would like to add someone to the prayer list to press the one button. We know that prayer changes things. You know, we put a name on here because we acknowledging that we need something from God that we can't do for ourselves for the request that's in the prayer. God wants us to make our petitions known to him. And if you want to add a name to the prayer list, you can press the one button on your phone and I'll open your mic. And I would like to list, give a name. The name is Gail. She has been placed on hospice. And I want us to pray for her. You know, when we pray, you know, we ask God what we want. But when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he told God, if you could remove this cup, take it away. But he also said, not my will, but thy will. We have to pray with an attitude that God knows best in our prayer. Yeah. We have to realize that we want what we want, but God may have another plan, and it's okay. Because as the song that was sung say, God have a master plan. We can't change it. We can't alter God's plan. But we pray to him to let our petition be known. And we know he hears us. And he told us to cast all of our cares on him, for he cares for us. So if anyone have anyone they would like to add to the prayer list, press the one button. I've added the name that I want. And at this time, I'm going to turn it over to our prayer warrior, Sister Pam.
Good evening, everybody. It's the first Wednesday of March, like Minister Diane said, and I'll be reading the prayer list. Gail, Nelson Johnson and family, Elena Banks, Alex Moore, Paula Anthony, Lakita Anthony, Mecca, Minister Diane's granddaughter, Cameron Oliphant, Jarius McClendon, Michael Lewis, Isaiah Mensah and family, Siri Chung, Jalen Dawson, Almeda Taylor, Sister Geraldine Jones, Sister Galatian Daniels, Brother and Sister Charlie Harris, Carla Williams, Pastor Willie Moulton, Yvonne Richardson, Karen Lewis, Glenn Butler, Maddie Trotter, Nelson Johnson, Genario Ashalis, Brother Corey, Minister Paula Cloud, Barbara's grandson, Nelton McKenzie, Juanita Stills, Lawrence Garten and family, David Webb, Diane McBride and family, Roderick McGee, John McGee, Rogers LaCaze, Zabrian Williams, Angel Taylor, Linda Howard, Latasha Harlan, Jada Porter, Barbara, Sister Mary Jo Pro, Hades, Brother KJ, Minister Diane Adams and family, Maddie Granado, Katina Orlando, Jace and Gina, Michael and Ashley, Sandra Oliver and family, all of our world leaders, all of our state leaders and local leaders. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the gift of life. We thank you for another Wednesday night for our prayer and worship. Lord, we thank you for our Bible study and for everyone that calls in on a Wednesday night. Lord, we thank you for Minister Diane Adams, our teacher, our sister in Christ, a prayer warrior. Lord, keep blessing her. Keep guiding her. Keep directing her every path. Keep using her, Lord, in ways that only you can. Father God, we come on this first Wednesday in March to call out the names of every one of our brothers and sisters that's on our prayer list, Lord Jesus. Whatever you may be going through, my sisters and brothers, allow God to take care of it. Let go and let God fix it. For he knows just what to do. And when you pray, let the Lord have his way, and he will, no doubt, fix it for you. Thank you, Father God, for the ultimate gift of your son, Jesus the Christ. And for that, we are so forever grateful. And it's in the sweet, holy name of Jesus Christ, I say thank you and amen.
Thank you so much, my sister. Thank you.
You're welcome.
For your faith in this. And I also pray that God blesses you real good.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, again, I want you to know that tonight we'll be in the book of Esther, the 7th chapter. The title of the lesson is, if you dig one ditch, you better dig two, because the trap you set just may be for you. You know, that's a saying that has been said almost forever. And sometimes we find it to be so true. And we'll see how true it is when we finish the lesson on tonight, and we'll know that it is true. It's almost what the scripture says about whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. The title is letting us know what you wish for others, whether good or bad. You see, we sometimes say you're going to reap what you sow. I think I said this before on the line when I was young. The old people just used to tell you, girl, you're going to reap what you sow. I guarantee you, what you going to reap, what you sow, what goes around comes around. And if you dig a ditch, you better dig. You know, they would tell us all of this. But as I got in the Word of God and began to learn, I was so excited because God said, you're going to reap what you sow because he's not mocked. But I learned that you're going to reap what you sow, whether good or bad. They never used to say the good part. But you're going to reap what you sow. And you have to watch, you know, what you speak over others' lives, you know, in the privacy of your mind, because God can read the heart. So we always have to be conscious, and we should always be, we should always want the best for others as we want for ourselves. We should. We, you know, I can remember when Donald Trump became president, and I can remember many Christians praying for him that he would have, you know, that he would rule well, not destruction upon him, because that's what we are taught to do. But if you dig one ditch, you better dig two, because one may be just for you. You see, the book of Esther, I'm going to talk about Esther, Esther Angel. I want you to know the book of Esther tells a story of deliverance of the Jewish people. I'm really taking time with the studies to introduce characters in different books of the Bible. Many times the books of the Bible, the 66 books, could be so intimidating to some people. And also, there's books in the Bible that someone has maybe never even heard of, or some have never, read it or studied it. But I'm taking time to go with different books and different characters so we could have something to relate to in the Bible. So Esther is a book that tells a story of the deliverance of the Jewish people. The author of the book, Esther, is unknown, but some believe that it may have been Mordecai, her uncle. You see, the book of Esther may not directly and do not directly mention God, yet it is clearly revealed God at work. It clearly reveals God at work. I want you to know that his name is not written in the book. Oh, but I could tell you his fingerprints are all over it. What seemed to be a coincidence, we see the amazing reversal and the poetic justice that led to the deliverance of the Jews and Persians. It all proclaims his presence. You know, God's name is not mentioned in the book, but as you read or study the book, you can see the hand of God all over it. Hallelujah. We see God's master plan, as the song said earlier, being worked out. And Romans 8:1 told us, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You see, Esther was a Jewish maiden, and she was taken from her familiar surroundings. They was captured by the Persians, and she was placed in the care of her beloved uncle, Mordecai. He had her placed in the palace to become one of the women to satisfy the sexual desires of the king and be placed in his harem. And just maybe become a new queen. You see, the king, Ahasuerus, enjoyed putting on public display of his wealth and power. That was the king in Persia at that time. And he was flashy. Come on, y'all. And he would have feasts. And during the feast, the king requested that his wife, Queen Vashti, come before the entire gathering. men and officials to show them her great beauty, wearing her crown. Now, I didn't find it in the Bible, but some people say and suggest that the king wanted her to wear only her crown and walk nude. But like I said, I didn't see that, but that's a suggestion. It has been suggested by some. So, Queen Bethsy refused to be on public display. So the king, who was not used to being denied anything, became enraged. And he dethroned her as queen and banished her from the kingdom. Everything that happened, God has to orchestrate it or allow it. He allowed her to be dethroned. Yes, he did. Because here we see where God is making room for his intended purpose and his glory. You see, after he made the decision to replace his wife with another woman, King Harassus had a total of 400 women selected to fill the harem, which he would eventually choose a wife and a queen. You know, they would take the girl and they would prep them for a whole year, teaching them how to and walk and prance and how to be respectful to the king. And they went through this ritual for a year. Come on, y'all. Esther was in it. I started by telling you she was a Jewish maiden. And Jewish women didn't usually even be selected to be placed in a harem. But she was. Come on, y'all. The hand of God. And they were being prepared for a full year. And when the preparation was over, Each woman had to spend a night with the king. Eventually, as the time came, and because of her humility and the acceptance of her position as a servant, see, she knew her place, you know. And some people say, well, why would he, you know, promote for her to go in there, you know, a virgin, to have sex with the king on a chance that she might. But she went in. She got the opportunity. Come on, y'all. She got the opportunity to go in. The year preparation was over, and now it's time for him to go and sleep with the king, and her time comes up. So she went in a chamber. She was so extraordinarily beautiful, both on the inside and outside, that the king was immediately smitten with her and made the decision to name her as the replacement for Queen Bethsy. So he placed a crown upon her head, and God was working his plan in the background. But he was definitely, y'all, in control. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? When Esther got appointed and confirmed as queen, the king appointed someone in his kingdom. But it was an evil man. And he appointed this man. The man was an evil man, and he hated the Jews. He hated them, and his name was Haman. You see, Haman was a descendant of Agag, which was a king, if you know a little bit about your history. He was a king of the Amalekites, a people who were Israel, the Jews' sworn enemies. And it was years and years ago that it happened and that it was like that. But he never got over it. He wanted revenge for his people. Now he's in charge of the king's affairs. Esther has not revealed her nationality as a Jew. It is a known fact that he hates the Jews. You see, Haman took and manipulated and maneuvered until he was able to get in a position of authority. And he wanted it so bad so that he could have an opportunity to destroy them. And he didn't just want one or two. He wanted to destroy the whole nation. And it would be genocide. So Mordecai enlisted Esther aid, the uncle. He said, we got to do something. So he went to Esther. And he said some kind of way correct the situation. And that, you know, Esther was young and she wanted in some of the other chapters, not revealing the one we're doing tonight. You know, what could I do? You know, I can't even go to the king unless I'm summoned. You know, she was telling him all of this, but he kept telling her that God was working for a time like this. So Esther took her life and decided to intercede to the king for her beloved people. At one point, she began to say, I don't care what the consequence is going to be. And there's a scripture that talks about that you hold your peace. And she began to feel the plight of her people. And he told her about, you know, her life was designed for a time like this. And Proverbs 26 and 27 says, whosoever diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. Proverbs. So I just wanted you to see how the story, you know, of Esther, which is, as I said, a book that tells the deliverance of the Jewish people. There's a Jewish holiday that's still being celebrated at certain times of the year because of what happened with the deliverance of the Jews from the Persian evil man Haman. So we're going into the scripture right now to see what happened. Haman was plotting all the time. He even took and built a galley because he was going to start with Mordecai and he was going to hang him and he was going to get buy-in from the king. Now the king don't know Mordecai and Esther even kin to one another because Esther never revealed her nationality. So Haman is plotting. He built a galley to hang Mordecai on. Mordecai is working on Esther to try to do whatever she could do to get the people delivered. And there's a lot of plots and thickenings going on. You see. So if we look at verse 7, it says, so the king and Haman came to a banquet with Esther the queen. Esther was taking her appointed time to get done what she wanted to do. She was strategically planning. So she had a banquet, and Haman came to the banquet. And the king said unto Esther, on the second day of the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? Queen Esther. See, the king at the second time and had been drinking and doing everything. He asked, so what's your petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to half of my kingdom. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. And you see, once he asked her that and she made a request, he couldn't stop it or block it. Because when they say something, it has to be performed. And so he said it. You see, this is showing how Esther took her chances and went before the king. Anyone approaching the king without being summoned was immediately put to death. That's like I said earlier. When the king saw her, it pleased him. You see, if you went before the king, he didn't summon you, and he lift up the thing he held in his hand, and then you could come forward. But when he saw, he lifted up, and it pleased him. She went up to the banquet with Haman, the one that hated Mordecai, because he wouldn't bow down to him. And the Jews were their enemy. He even got buy-in from the king in a previous verse. Read it, y'all. Read the book of Esther. He told the king that he would offer him silver. He would almost pay him so that, and he would pay the people, whoever got the Jews and destroyed them would be paid. And he would also take money and silver and place it into the treasury for whoever carry out the business of destroying the Jews. Now that was heavy. The king not thinking about it. You know, in the Bible, we see a lot of times when the king works and something comes to them with a plan that they don't truly think it through. And once they say yes, it's usually done. So he got this big plan, and he then got to the king, and the king gave him buy-in, not knowing that his queen would be destroyed because she was an Israelite, a Jew. So she knew his plan. She knew his plot. She knew it was serious. She knew her people was at a serious risk, and she knew that even her life could be in danger. Because Haman was a serious, hateful, evil, treacherous man. So look what Esther did. She had already got buy-in. She had already went to the king when she shouldn't have. So Esther enlists Mordecai to gather the Israelites together and fast for 3 days. Esther fasts. Have no other object but to obtain God's favor and protection during a dangerous course on which she was able to enter. And she even said after that, she said, get them and let them fast. Now, as I say, the name God is not even penned in the book, but we could see the hand of God all over it. And after she did that, she had made up her mind. And if she's asking about fasting, I'm sure she prayed. The scripture doesn't say it, but she prayed. And she came up with what she said. And if I perish, I perish. Come on, y'all. God ever gave you something to do that it seemed dangerous, but you went and did it anyway? You see, S is a lesson about God's sovereignty over his creation. He maneuvers every aspect of life to position, come on, watch this, to position people, government, institutions, situation for his plan and purpose. There's a scripture in the book of, I think it's Proverbs, that say the heart of a king is in the hand of the Lord, and he directs it as you please. Look at God working on the heart of King Ahaziah. Come on, y'all. Look how God allowed the queen to be removed and Esther to take her place. It's not coincidence, y'all. It's God's working his master plan. We may never know what God is doing, but a time might come when we realize why we have gone through certain experiences or met certain people in our lives, why we live in a certain area, or why we shop at certain stores, or why we have even taken certain trips. But you may understand by and by the will of God. The time may come when everything comes together and we look back and see that we too were put in that moment of time, just as Esther. Many of you may have experiences that you could just express how you knew it was God's plan, that everything was synchronized and it dropped in place. Come on, y'all. And it couldn't be nothing but God. You see, she was placed in a harem for such a time as this. She was given to a king for such a time as this. She was strengthened and prepared to intercede for her people for such a time as this. Esther is truly a reminder of God's promise, as he written in Romans 8:28. For we know that God causes all things to work together for the good for those who love God, to those who are the call according to his purpose. And tonight I want to let you know, if God be for you, who could be against you? We see the hand of God operating in the lives of the Jewish people, really, and the character he decided to use, Esther, Mordecai. Come on, y'all. The birth of Christ, the characters he used, Mary, the freed Israelites, Moses, the saved God, human creation, after the flood, Noah. God uses people, places, and things that his master plan that is formulated before the foundation of the world. Could go forth. In verse 4, she said, "But we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish." You see, she's telling him what happened. She said, "We are being sold because Haman offered money." So it was like they were sold. She's telling him, "We are sold." She said, "But if we had been sold as bondsmen and bondswomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not contravail the king damage." She's saying the money that they give you to put in your treasure ain't gonna be over what it would, what you're going to lose with your laborers, and for all of us to be gone, and everything that we bring to the table, you're going to lose. Come on, y'all. She said it can't even contravail your damages. She said, think about it, King. Then the king, Ahasuerus, answered and said to Esther, the queen, who is he and where is he that doth press it to his heart to do this? He said, who is it? Where is it? And Esther said, the adversary, the enemy, is the wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and queen. And verse 7, and the king arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath went into the palace garden, and Haman stood up to make a request for his life to ask for the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him. Now the shoe is on the other foot. You see, he went in with an agenda against someone else, and now it has turned on him. Esther tell the king all that Haman claimed. Then she revealed her nationality. If you give him the right to really, they was going to genocide if they killed all the Jews, to do this to the Jewish people, it's going to be done to me. She revealed her nationality at that time. She let the king know that the silver that he was willing to give him would not take care of what he's going to lose. Esther received great favor from the king, and he had previously asked her desires of her heart. He couldn't back down, my y'all. The king wanted to know who was plotting to do such a thing, and Esther let him know that it was Haman. She called him the adversary and the enemy, evil. The king was displeased, to say the least, and he took a walk in the garden. I would imagine to think, and Haman began to bathe. Haman began to beg for his life to Esther. Verse 8, the king returned out of the palace into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman fell upon the bed where Esther was. Let me get a drink, y'all. Thank you, Jesus. He fell on the bed where Esther was. Then said the king, will he not force the queen also before me? You see, it wasn't a good look. He wasn't trying to seduce her, but he had them fell on that bed. He got weak. He done fell on the bed, the king come in there and see. He said, what you trying to do, man? Will he force the queen also before me in my house? And as the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered his head. Look how fast. The king ain't had to say, well, y'all come and get, as soon as the word came out of his mouth, the king's mouth. And Habona, one of the chambermen, said before the king, behold, also the gallic 50 cubits high, which Haman had made from Malachi. They said, look, you want to get rid of him? We already got a galley done. A galley he built for Haman, for Mordecai. How you like that, y'all? They saying, this is Mordecai who spoke good for the king, standing in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. So they hang Haman on the galley that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. You see, when the king returned, he saw the man. He was full of grief and on the bed. He thought he was going to force himself. The suggestion was made that Haman had built the galley. See, the galley he had prepared for the debt of Malachi became the galley for his debt. And again, Proverbs 26 and 7 say, whoever dig a pit will fall into it. If someone rolls a stone, it will roll back on them. You see, Esther was destined for a time such as this. God chose Esther to do what she had planned. God had Esther to do what he had planned before the foundation of the world. Even before she was born, we know that Jeremiah 29 and 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, say the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. You see, God has a plan for your life. God penned and allowed the book of Esther to be penned, a story that we could learn how he works sovereignly in the lives of ordinary people who submit to his ways. It is said that if everything would have been written in a Bible, the world could not contain it. Tonight we are studying the life of Esther. But I want you to know that you also have a story. If your story would be told in the Bible today, what would it say if you look back over your life and meditate on the goodness of God? You will see his hand working in your life in the midst of everything that's going on. And we should always remember, and watch how we treat God's people. Scripture in Esther 4 and 14, and it says, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. He's saying if you don't do anything about it, you know, it was believed that God will make it happen some way, somehow. He said, well, the Jews will be from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom but such a time as this? This was words being spoken to Esther to get her to give get buy-in. This was talk given to her for buy-in and what Mordecai knew had to be done for the deliverance of the people of Israel and Persia. Esther decided to do what was necessary for her people, even if she perished. The hand of God is there. God synchronized and orchestrated all of the parts of this story on time to deliver the outcome that they had. God take care of his people. And again, I remind you that the name of God is not in his book, but his hand is all over it, and his foot, his fingerprint on each page. That's our lesson for tonight. Any questions, comments, or concerns? If you know something about Esther, because we did the 7th chapter and there many more chapters and more events to the story, you could give them to us at this time. If there's nothing else to be said, we can have our benediction.
Benediction tonight is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Well, that's just, you know, some things about Esther. And we were in the 7th chapter. And I encourage you guys to read the book of Esther so you can see how God operates in his people. God allows certain books to be written for certain reasons. And God wants us to see how he operates in the lives of his people. And if God operate with them that way, you know, you can, not that he'll do it the same way, but you'll know what he's capable of doing for you. You know, just like the Hebrew boys when they got ready to go in the fiery furnace and was asked by the king, will your God deliver you? They said, we don't know if he will. They were saying his will going to be done, but we know he can. See, God is showing us different aspects how he deals with his people and circumstances, situations, time, and places. And we can have the evidence and the insurance that God is with us. And if God be for us, who could be against us? Because that's the only way we're going to make it in this evil and dark world. It's the only way we're going to make it with our but God experiences. But God, we could have our benediction. The benediction had been read. If there anyone would like to say anything at this time, you could press the one button. If not, I'll say good night. Again, I thank God for you all, and I pray that God blesses each and every one of you real good. So until next Wednesday, be blessed. Good night.